AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Brett Johnson with you, as today we're going to be talking a little bit about the census. Now, of course, we have covered the census on some past interviews and, of course, on the Matt McNeil show, talking about gerrymandering and how the census, of course, impacts that. But there's another part of the census that I think we need to focus on, and that's because the 2020 census recently revealed that the U.S. population over the last decade grew at only 7%, which is the slowest growth rate we've had since the 1930s during the Great Depression. So what does this slower growth rate mean, and is that necessarily a bad thing? Joining us to talk about that is John Seeger. He is the president and CEO of Population Connection. John, thanks so much for joining me on the program today.
Glad to be here.
Absolutely. So were you surprised by the census data when you saw that lower population growth rate? Talk about that and whether you were surprised at all by those results.
No, it wasn't really surprising. We've seen a modest slowdown in our population growth rate. Incidentally, Minnesota is remarkably similar to the whole nation. Minnesota's population grew by almost 7% as our nation's grew by 7%. So your state is at least in that one regard typical. We think that slower population growth can be a very positive thing if it's addressed correctly. And one way I think to think about this is to not sort of get so lost in the big numbers, but to think of it in terms of one's family and what one wants for, we all want for our families. We want our families to be safe, secure. We want them to be healthy, well-educated, and have good lives. And having the number of children, for example, that any family thinks is right for them is key. But it isn't just a question of more always being better. It's a question of what's best for your own family and your community and your society.
So historically, how did we get to that point where we always assumed that higher population growth was going to be a positive thing? Is this something that's kind of a relic of a previous era when we were more of an agricultural society? Or why do you think that has changed over the years where a lack of population growth is not necessarily a bad thing?
Well, sometimes things go in tandem that aren't always directly related. As, take any given community, for example, as its population grows, it's the Twin Cities where you've seen a lot of population growth. It grows for a variety of reasons, but one of the reasons is a lot of people want to live there because it's an attractive community in so many ways. It's not a perfect place. There are no perfect places, but it has a lot of things that make it very attractive to people. And so you see population growth kind of getting tied in with the quality of life in a community. But when you look at it globally, it's a different situation. And when we look at it in terms of what would happen if a community didn't grow, it doesn't necessarily mean that that community can't be a great place to live. We might have more money to invest in the children, for example, that are already here if we weren't dealing with rapid population growth. Too often, we leave a lot of people behind. In Minnesota, for example, about 11% of the children have been trapped in poverty, and they're getting left behind, and population growth by itself certainly doesn't solve that problem.
So what you're saying is that there could essentially be an economic opportunity for people who are maybe lower income when we have this smaller population growth, because in theory, they could have opportunities to get more jobs since there are fewer people to potentially take those jobs. Is that kind of what you're going with, at least on the economic perspective?
That certainly can be a factor. We've seen in some places a real surge in terms of wages, particularly toward the lower end of the economic spectrum because of a scarcity of workers. And that has been very beneficial for many people. But there's a little more to it than that. Things don't just sort of happen in this world. We need to be proactive and intentional about investing in children, in making sure that they're healthy and they're well-educated. And we should do that not only because it's the right thing to do, which is enough, but also because if you want to have a productive economy, you've got to have healthy children to grow into healthy adults. And that's why I really want to highlight what President Biden has taken leadership on, the recent initiative that has literally cut the child poverty rate in half in the United States, at least for this year. There's nothing that's been done in the past 50 or more years that's been more impactful in a positive way for children than that single action.
So I know you've written about this, but can you talk about how family size is a major contributing factor to issues relating to poverty? Talk a little bit more in detail about that.
The best way to look at it, I think, is to look at the challenges that face people who are in poverty. They live under constant stress. Where are they going to live? How are they going to provide for their families? Will their car start? How are they going to make sure that they pay the rent? When you live under constant stress, it's very hard to make good decisions. It doesn't matter who you are. That's not a way to make good decisions. And often those parents, despite their very best efforts, aren't able to spend the quality of time that they want to with their children. Similarly, as people grow up, if you have more education, if you're healthier, if you live in a less stressful environment, you're able to make better decisions for yourself in terms of whether and when to have children. It's a virtuous cycle that everybody can benefit from.
Listening to AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Right now we're joined by John Seeger. He is the president and CEO of Population Connection. As we're talking about why the slower growth rate we saw from the 2020 census compared to previous decades is not necessarily a bad thing. And I want to turn our attention to something else that I've seen you write about, and that has to do with climate change and the environment. Talk about how that smaller population growth could actually be a benefit when it comes to climate change and making sure we protect the environment.
Well, rural Minnesota in particular is home to a vast wildlife. They're not the problem. It isn't raccoons and bears and beavers that are driving climate change. It's one species on this planet, and that is us. And on one level, it's pretty straightforward. The more of us there are, the more emissions we have. Now, it has to be noted that some of us have what really has to be called carbon obesity, while there are others who are experiencing carbon starvation. They're living lives of such desperate poverty, and they need that to be transformed. So it's not even across the board, but it simply stands to reason that if you have smaller families, you put less pressure on the environment. And the environment isn't just something out there, it's part of our daily lives. And what happens around the world matters to us in a very immediate way these days.
Now, I know as folks might be sitting here listening to this, they might be thinking, well, if we have a slower population growth, couldn't that negatively impact some of our social safety net programs, whether that's Medicare or Social Security? Talk about that a little bit and some concerns or maybe some ways we could address that, yeah, since we do have that slower population growth rate from the 2020 census.
There are two key points here. First is, certainly, there are very significant societal expenses that are incurred by older people, Social Security, Medicare. But let's also remember, it's very expensive to raise children. Healthcare and certainly education are key costs in that regard. If you have slower population growth, you have fewer children, and that offsets the number of older people that you have. You're kind of gaining on one end what you're losing on the other. The other key factor is this. Social Security does need a boost. That boost can be provided by eliminating the earnings cap. If one is lucky enough to make enough in a given year where you no longer have to pay Social Security tax, you're a lucky person. And everyone should pay the same rate. Warren Buffett has pointed out that he pays a lower rate than his executive assistant. That doesn't make any sense. We should all pay the same rate. Certainly people who are better off shouldn't pay effectively a lower rate. Do that and you fill almost the entire Social Security gap with that one change.
And I like that point you brought up because it's looking at that issue in a different way rather than thinking, well, we just need to grow the population to actually get these programs funded properly, when really we need fundamental changes to those that really has nothing to do with population growth. So yeah, I kind of like that take there. And Final question I have for you, or final thing to at least talk about, at least on this, as I know we are running a little bit short of time. Again, we're speaking with John Seeger, President and CEO of Population Connection. Website is populationconnection.org. I think this is important to point out when people are saying, well, wait a second, population growth and that not growing as fast as in previous years, that's got to be a bad thing. And you're talking about how we can use this as an opportunity. And I think it's important to point out that you're by no means advocating that we need to have limits on how many children families can have. You're just simply saying that, well, the slower population growth is not necessarily a bad thing. And in fact, it's an opportunity.
That's exactly right. We fully support the right of every woman and every family to make their own personal private decisions in this most private of matters. What we believe, however, is that there are potential benefits to having smaller families. And if we invest in children, invest in their future, it's going to make our society so much better regardless of what the rates are.
John, before we go, just want to get your final thoughts on what we're seeing in terms of population growth in Minnesota, especially in our rural areas versus kind of our more urban areas in Minnesota, if you can talk about that a little bit more.
The urban areas in Minnesota and around our nation are growing, but many of the more rural areas, and that includes 35 of Minnesota's counties, are shrinking in population. And that poses an important challenge, which should be and could be an opportunity. We need to invest and help those communities find ways to shrink in a smart way, to make sure that they're able to maintain their town centers, to make sure that there's employment there, to make sure that if they're not growing, and even if they're shrinking, they can still have quality of life. We can't leave the people who live in rural communities behind. They've invested their lives, and these are very important places to them. They're the places they call home, and we can't forget about them as we go forward.
Again, we were speaking with John Seeger, President and CEO of Population Connection. John, where can people learn more about Population Connection and some of the work you guys do?
They can come to our website. The short version of it is POP connect.org, and if they poke around, they'll find my email address, and I'm glad to hear from anybody who'd like to share their views.
Absolutely. POPconnect.org is that website. John, thanks so much for the time today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you.